Been talking about love's intention, and last week we were talking about the blessing. I'm going to kind of continue on that. The blessing. Got my little notebook, felt like I'm back in school. And this is... I don't know, there's a lot of words that we use in the scriptures. We don't really understand how they work or where they find their fulfillment. So we got to see this thing coming to its fullness in Christ. But... I want to read you a couple verses here. Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that little term, in thee, in thy seed, in thee, it's used many, many times in the Bible, in the scriptures. He's talking about Abraham in you, in your seed, in a specific descendant of you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, why Abraham? Why Abram here? You ever wonder why Abraham? I mean, was Abraham doing something that was good, that got God's attention? Was he reading the Bible? They didn't even have a Bible. He's in the land of Chaldeans. I mean, he's an idol worshiper, a moon god worshiper, where they'd sacrifice babies, and that's where he's at. But God is basically... He said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and in you all the nations will be blessed. In other words, he said, I got to start somewhere. Might as well be with you. See, we get at the thing that we think, well, you know, some privilege. It is a privilege, but it's not a privilege. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Through you, through that one descendant, he's not saying, Abraham, you're special, and heck with everybody else. And you remember last week that the word blessing, how it meant to bow, to kneel. I don't know if you pondered that any. That God, in blessing you, bows, kneels, shows honor, shows respect to you. And then the recipient of the blessing bows. To show that his need and his honor and respect receiving the blessing. Can you see the two bowing? One giving, one receiving. And we saw that it meant a good word that had spoken out from the love intention of God. That it empowers the person. That's what a blessing does. It empowers the person. Empowers the person. Empowers the person to experience the overflow, the abundance of life. And when I say life, I mean life of God. And that starts on the inside. It don't come from the outside. It starts on the inside and works its way out. Yes. Yes. Same thing as saying, you know, I wonder if people ever think, well, I got saved, you know, all these terms. But Paul tells us, work out your own salvation. Work out your salvation. I wonder why that is if it's a ticket. How can I work it out? I think we've missed the point about growing up. we missed the whole point. I mean, you know, we just missed it. Maybe today you'll see a little bit of why we're here. You ever wonder why we're even here? God wanted everybody in heaven. Why not just make them in heaven? I mean, why? I would, wouldn't you? I mean, it's logical to me. If I wanted everybody in heaven, I would have made them in heaven. I would have never made a devil. I mean, if he's omniscient and all-knowing, why even make a devil? Why make one that could choose? I mean, why even do that? Just put everybody in heaven. Why not just do that? There has to be a purpose for the reason we're here. Has to be a purpose for everything he made. I mean, you think God made everything and said, oh, no, it's falling apart. Jesus, go fix it. Most think that's what it is, you know. Most think the devil's this big, powerful anti-God that's battling God, and hopefully God can pull it out somehow. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, ludicrous stuff. That God life, the blessing, the empowerment starts within it and moves out. But before it even gets to the outside, it goes through my mind. It goes through my heart. It goes through my emotions. Goes into the physical of me. Begins to change the physical of me. Then it moves out into the possessions and everyone else that you get entangled with in life. They become empowered. That empowerment's the very life of God. The very life of God. To bring that. And I'm going to talk to you. Man, these ain't going to be Bible terms. But, you know, we got these words. You know, gospel, then we add on the other side of gospel what kind of gospel it is. We got, you know, Paul didn't say, well, we got full gospel, we got prosperity gospel, we got healing gospel. You know, Paul just called it the gospel. And it contains all of those other things, but, you know, today we've sectionalized the gospel to certain churches and denominations. But there is a, you know, we were kind of reading last night, last week, prosperity. But what I want to kind of change that word a little bit and go success. What do you call success? You ever think about that? What is success? He's a successful person. She's successful. What does that mean? What standard do we use to govern what success is? What is the measure of success? To most, I mean, in the American dream, it's money. The more money you got, the more successful you are. But we know people who are millionaires who blow their heads off because obviously they're not successful. So is it money-based? We ride back down the street, we see a big house, he's successful. We see a small house, he's not as successful. What is it? When can you declare yourself successful? Is there a point when, boom, I finally reached success, then what do? Go on vacation? So what is it? And I want to tell you that in our nature is a desire to succeed. In our very nature it is. Why do you think we have do you know we got more drug addicts in the United States than the whole world combined? Wonder why that is. We're supposed to be the land of freedom. We're supposed to be the land of the American dream. But yet, I mean, how many drugs... Do you think Mexicans are down there right now trying to stop Americans from coming in and selling drugs? I wonder why that is. I mean, you think they're down there campaigning, we got to stop them nasty Americans from coming down here and pushing their drug. Come on. We're the ones with this appetite. Why is that? Do you think maybe that most Americans start from a young age, have this desire of success, see it's impossible to reach, so I'm just going to numb myself for the rest of the way through? I can't do it. Now we're talking blessing here. I want you to bring these things together. I hate for the mix-up to be, this is churchy on Sunday, but this is where I really live the rest of the week. If we can't put the two together, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. If we don't know what success is, how can I know where to look for it? How can I know how to aspire to it? I mean, you know, when I go to the store and I go to Walmart, I know where the bread is, and I go straight to the bread and I get the bread because I know what it is. But if I don't know what success really is, how can I go pursue it? Let me just give you a small definition here of success. You might like this, you might not. It's the progressive realization of a worthy idea. That's pretty simple, isn't it? The progressive realization of a worthy idea. A worthy idea. You know, where does an idea come from? An idea comes from an imagination. I grew up in a church that thought imagination, you know, because we use one scripture out of context, casting down all every imagination and high thing that cast, and we think that imagination is a bad thing. Listen, God gave you imagination. The bad thing was it got filled with the lie. It got filled with darkness. Imagination comes from God. God imagined this whole thing. But see, when God imagines, it comes to pass. It comes to pass because He spoke a word, and that word empowers wherever He sent it out to accomplish whereunto He sent it. So, if it's a progressive realization of a worthy idea, any person who knows what he's doing, knows where he's going, is successful. Do you understand that? Any person who knows what he's doing, knows where he's going. Now see, this takes in your whole life. Why do you get up in the morning? Most people get up to go to work, to earn the money, to pay the bills, to buy the bread, so that they can eat and get strength. To do what? To get up in the morning and go to work, to earn the money, to pay the bills, to buy the bread. Why? So that they can gain strength, so they can do what? Get up. Go to work. Right? And our whole goal is what? To retire and go somewhere when I retire. I mean, isn't that the American dream? So any person really that has a goal in which he's working towards that goal is a success. Young people are way more successful in school because, I mean, even if they don't know where they're going afterwards, they got a goal. I want to graduate. I want to earn a diploma. And I'm working towards that. I get up in the morning. I go to school. I can see where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. But I got some numbers here for you. 19 out of 20 people in the United States are not successful. Because they don't know why they go to work. They don't know why they get up. Shoot, have to leave work. You ask people what success is. And I just want you to kind of do your own survey with your own group of people that you hang around with. What is success? They're going to tell you about cars and boats and houses. Success is in the scriptures, guys. I mean, when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about a successful kingdom, a kingdom of light, a kingdom that's over against the kingdom of darkness. Wherein is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So these are two, don't separate these things. If we don't know why we get up in the morning and what we're doing, where we're going, I mean, it's nothing. I mean, do you think Paul and them, they knew where they were going. They knew why they were going to the city. They knew why they were going here. They understood where they were going. And they rested in that and had joy in that. Most just, and the church got a hold of this culture? Because what is the church culture? Wait. Rapture? Right? What else is it? I mean, you know, this is, I wish we could get into the book sometime. We will sometime, but the Thessalonians, you see, the Thessalonians, what the reason we got Thessalonians for is because the Thessalonians had quit everything. The Thessalonians had said, hey, we got this. There's going to be a resurrection, a trumpet sound, and a flying away. Let's quit everything. Let's don't go to work anymore. Let's just sit right here in our little building and wait on Jesus to come back. And Paul says, wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute, guys. You've missed the point. The church has missed the point. When we went to the ball game the other night out at William Byrd, there was this lady coming around giving us a little purple ribbon, put on our shirts, because of another teenage suicide for somebody in William Byrd that killed himself. Hello, I mean, it's okay, it's just another person. Who cares? I don't even know her name. I guarantee you her mom and daddy does. I guarantee you her family's in mourning right this minute. They don't give a hoot about no stinking ball game. When I hear those things, I mean, it breaks my heart. I think, how long, church? When is it going to get serious? When is it going to get real?
Yes.
I'm sick and tired of it. Sometimes, guys, I get up and I want to throw up my hands and say, who even cares anymore? Who even cares? What all we hear about in the church is one of these days we're all going to go to heaven. I get sick and tired of it. I wonder about right here.
Yes, ma'am.
I wonder about today.
Yes.
Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day that some husband is beating the fire out of his wife. Today is the day another teenager is getting tired of it and killing themselves. Today is the day when the bullies are taking over. Today is the day when some little girl is being molested by some weirdo. Today is the day when there's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. When are the children of the light going to wake up? When are they going to wake up? When? Oh, I just want Jesus, because they're all a bunch of lazy, unsuccessful, not caring people. What can I do? We're talking about a blessing that has empowered you to change it. Do we believe that? Let me just keep going here. 19 out of 20, unsuccessful. Let me give you the story of an average American boy here in the United States. From the time of birth, the only thing that this little boy can do is learn to think and act and talk like the people that's around him. Is that not true? It's all he can do. Think, act, and talk by the people that's around him. Now the odds are 95-5 that it's the wrong group. That it's the wrong group. Now I know in our minds you're thinking, well, not everybody's born in the ghetto. I'm not talking about Elvis Presley and the song Born in the Ghetto. Because I'm talking about out of the 95-5, these people love him. They would do anything for him. They'll buy him anything. They'll do anything for him. They want this young boy to succeed. But 95% don't have the answers if he's going to succeed and reach fulfillment as a human being. 95%. He's got a 5% chance of reaching any kind of potential as being a human being. 5% chance. How many are born in the world every day? They love him. They want him to succeed, but don't know how to bring it about. So this little boy, he's staying at home, and he grows up, and it's finally time to go to school, right? He goes to school. All he's learned is from the people he's around. He's learned to walk and talk by the people he's been around. So his personality, you see where I'm going. His personality is drawing from everybody around him. So the little boy goes to school. The most important thing for this little boy at school is what? To be liked. We could say he wants to go to school to learn arithmetic and all this, but the number one, really, what is your number one thing? We want to be liked. We want to be liked. So from kindergarten on, he wants to be liked. So what does he do? So what does this little boy do? And I'm not talking about little girls. I'm talking about little boys because I was a little boy. Maybe this holds true for you too. So what happens when you go to school and you're scared, you don't know anybody, and all you want to do is be liked and fit in. So now that you go to school, what do? You start following what the other little boys do. Because if I do something different, I may not be liked. So I'm going to try to fit in. So now I've got 30 little boys in one class. All of them with a desire to be liked. All of them wanting to. And there's no leaders here. They're all 5 years old. So all you see where we're going here. Other little boys don't know anything either. So year after year, as this little boy grows up, with the root thing that's inside of him, wanting to be liked, he forms himself into a composite of all the other people he's around. Do you see what I'm talking about? He's got a little bit of this personality, a little bit of this one, a little bit of this one, a little bit of this one, a little bit of this one. So he's a daggone jigsaw puzzle of all the people he's been around. Right? He's trying to be like them. He's trying to fit in. What he's really trying to do is the only thing in the world that's impossible. What is the only thing in the world that's impossible? For you to be somebody else. You can only be you. God made you. But we have spent our lives trying to be somebody else. Now remember where we started this whole series off. Fear not. So this whole thing is fear driven. It's fear driven. Now we're just going to be scratching the surface today. It's fear driven. So this guy goes all through school like this. Maybe when he gets out of school, maybe joins the military. You know, all this conformity. And then when this guy gets out of the military, where does he go? He goes back home. Right? I mean, that's what we do. I didn't get out of the military and say, hey, guess what? I'm going to San Diego. You go back home. Why? It's all you know. Now, I'm just giving you the law of averages. Now, if the guy in the military gets married, he generally doesn't go back to his hometown, but he goes to his wife's hometown. Right? I'm just giving you the basic laws of average. The guy's single, he gets back to his hometown, he gets married, he goes to his wife's hometown. Well, let's say this guy, Charlie, single. Goes back home, standing on the corner, you know, one day. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't know what to do. Standing on the corner. And I know when I look at this guy, this is exactly how things work for me. So he's standing on the corner. Up here comes an old friend one day. He says, hey, what are you doing? What you doing? Man, I'm not doing much of nothing. Why don't you come work where I work? It's a pretty good job. Make some good money. Nice benefits. So here's old Charlie, who's been conforming his whole life, and all he does is want to get along, decides what? Hey, it's a good idea. I believe I'll go to work where you work. How do most people get a job? I mean, you know, they're hiring. Come over here and work. I mean, was it your dream? I mean, I grew up, guys, I work on a railroad. Thank God I work on a railroad, but I never played trains before. I guess if I would have grown up and done what I wanted to do as a kid, I'd be in jail because all I did was play Cowboys and Indians. You know. It's what I grew up doing. It's what I wanted to be as a cowboy. So, Charlie goes to work. So what does he do when he goes to work? He hasn't changed since first grade. So when he goes to work, what does he want to do at work? He wants to fit in. He wants to be liked. So what does he do at work? He sees what everybody else is doing and follows along. Because, guy, and you guys know this, if you go to work and you try to do extra, we got names for you. You know what I mean? You're a kiss up. You're a, you know. If you try to go in and say, wow, I really like what it, oh, no, let's just do the status quo. Let's just fit in. Let's just be like. Let's just conform. So we do. I mean, it's normal. So we just go. We do our thing. So the guy starts out work, but now what's he got? He's got 40 years in front of him to reach this finish line goal, that when it gets to that goal, maybe some kind of success, maybe there's maybe some kind of joy, maybe some kind of peace out there. You see, 40 years. Do you see the drudgery here? Do you see why we have so many people in the United States that says, heck with that, I'm not going to do that. It's easier for me to get a check. It's easier for me to just quit. It's easier for me to just go on drugs because I can't face the fact of 40 years of this drudgery, of conformity, of fitting in. I can't do it. I don't like the people I work with. I don't like, you know what I mean? So, just trying to reach that, trying to, you know, joy is way up there. When I, you know, I hear people tell me that all the time, you know, 8 more years, 5 more years, you know, three years, you know, till I can retire. When I retire, and you know, do you know what? Listen, I work on a railroad, you guys know that. We have what's railroad retirement. Do you know that about 80% of railroaders never get railroad retirement? Because they don't make it. They get injured, they go off sick, then they fall into another lot of disability. Most don't reach retirement. Most give up. Most look at it and say, it's too far. Right? I can't. I've worked here 40 years. I can't. I just can't. Most don't get it. Most don't get it. But we got joy way out there. Man, if I could get 42 more years, there's joy over there, and then I'll get it. And then, and most of the guys, when they do retire, live about 5 years and they die. You ever wonder why that is? So if this guy here, Charlie, works 40 hours a week, he works 40 hours a week, that leaves 72 hours a week that he's not either working or sleeping. In other words, he's got about 6.5 hours every day that's his. About 6.5 hours. Doesn't sound like a lot. That's 1/4. You know, a little bit more than 1/4 of the day that he's not working or sleeping, but that's what he's got. So at this point, old Charlie, he's working. He's got 6.5 hours a day. He's married. He's got a house. He's got a car. What does he do with his 72 hours of time? What does he do with it? He does what everybody else does with it. What does everybody else do with their 72 hours? Nothing. Don't do nothing with it. Nothing at all. The guy comes home from work every day, watches. What, and guys, if you fall into this soon, good. Maybe it's an eye-opener because I fall into this soon a whole lot. What do you do when you come home from work? I'm tired. Why are you tired? Well, I heard everybody else say they were tired, so I'm just saying what everybody else says. Maybe I do feel tired, you know, maybe I'm just tired. So when I come home from work, I got 6.5 hours. Now remember, I'm trying to live the American dream. I'm trying to find success, but I'm tired. So I've got 6.5 more hours, but I'm tired. So what are we going to do? I know we ain't supposed to preach this stuff. We're supposed to read scriptures and Bible and do all that other stuff, right? We can't get down to the real deal and talk about everyday life and all these other things, but this is the real deal. I'm talking about being blessed and successful and prosperity in life. I'm talking about changing things. It's got to start somewhere. So the guys, see, we've heard that you're supposed to be tired when you come home from work. We've heard it our whole life, haven't we? So what do? We just conform and we say, I'm tired. So what does the guy do? What does Charlie do? He's married and his wife fixes dinner, so he gets his dinner. So what does he do? He goes into the living room, turns on the escape box. I don't know if you guys do this. I do it. I mean, I'm just telling you. Turns on the escape box. Wife wakes him up and says, Charlie, it's time to go to bed. You got to get up and go to work tomorrow. We call this success. We call this living the American dream. Sounds great, don't it? I mean, this sounds like something that I want to leave my country and go to. The American dream. Now, in the escape box, what's he watching on TV? I've heard that you can see that our young people see more murders and rapes now than if you would have lived at Jesus' time and walked a Roman road, seeing when Nero crucified all them Christians and set them on fire. You can actually, you know, by the time you're 10 years old, see more murders on TV than if you would have lived in Nero's time in 70 AD when he was killing thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians. But I mean, it's just common, right? It's just common. Just common. Or you know, like me, you can watch sports. What do you do with sports? Then you dream about being an athlete. What is it, the athlete? What is the athlete? Everywhere he goes, there's a reporter that says, Tim, how did you do it? What did you think when he was down by 4 and 1 minute to go and you had the ball on 20-yard line? What did you think? Well, I dug down and my practice came through. And you're like, man, what? I wish I could be like that guy because that everybody loves that guy. Right? So I'm all the way back to first grade again doing what? Wanting to be loved. Wanting to fit in, wanting to be like everybody else because, wow, everybody loves Mike. You remember the commercial? Everybody, I mean, they used to sing the song, Be Like Mike, Be Like Mike, Be Like Mike. If I could be like Michael Jordan, everybody would love me. Right? So I'm all the way back to first grade. I'm trying to conform. I'm trying to fit in. So we got everybody else trying to live their dream. Trying to fit in. So we got this guy, Charlie, that spends 25% of his time, 6.5 hours a day, watching TV for the next 40 years. He does it every day. Finally, the guy reaches retirement. What does he do? He lives 2 years and dies because he's bored to death. You see what I mean? Because he's bored to death. Isn't that, hey, what's the word around town? It was the same word when I grew up. Nothing to do around here. What does that mean? Bored. Nothing for the kids to do around here. If you guys ever heard that? Nothing for the kids to do around here. We need something. But as soon as we get something in, all we get is crime. We don't want too much around here. There's nothing to do around here. There is nothing to do. I'm bored. So then we grow up and we get a job and there's nothing to do and I'm bored. It's why places like Dollywood have 20 billion people go down there every week because I'm bored. Branson, Missouri springs up overnight. Why? Because I'm bored. Disney World, you know, standing in line because I'm bored. You see what I mean? Because I'm bored. Any year, is there a tragedy? Is this the way life is supposed to be? Is this what you thought it was? I mean, you remember when you was, you know, watch these little kids running around here and just dancing and do you see Taylor just running and dancing? Do you think she's bored? She ain't got time to be bored. I mean, does she have time to be bored? She'll learn boredom by us. Okay, see right now, I watch what we're seeing. She's just over here twirling it around in a circle, just dancing. I guarantee you, right back there right now, she ain't bored. Do you think she is? I mean, just watch her. She'll learn to be bored because we'll teach her how to be bored. Stop it. Sit down. Stop it. Stop it. Just come over here. Stop it. Get away. Stop it. Don't do that. Stop it. Stay here. Right? I mean, that's what we do. Oh, you know. Right now, they're just free. You know, what is it? Except you become as a little child. Do we really believe that? Except you become as a little child, there's freedom in a little child. They haven't learned these stupid things that we do as adults, and yet we call ourselves smart and them dumb. Well, the scientists will tell you the children are the geniuses and we're the idiots. You can read that out. It's common knowledge. They're the ones who enjoy life. They're the ones who, if they don't have any toys, it's okay, we'll get a stick. You know? We'll just have fun together. We'll just use a stick. I mean, that's, you know, they're the ones who aren't prejudiced. They're the ones who just play with any color of baby that's sitting down, and they don't care. They learn it from us. They learn it from us because of conformity. And if you think about what I told you, people are doing the same things when they're 50 and 60 years old as they did when they're first grade. Trying to conform, trying to be like, trying to fit in. Calling that life. And old Charlie here the whole time, he never knows who he is. He never knows why he's here. He never knows God love. He never knows he's empowered, blessed of the living God. He never knows joy, never knows peace. He puts it all one of these days over here. And life is just a drudgery. So why, I got to ask, why the struggle here and now? You ever wonder that? Why do we struggle here and now? Maybe you guys don't struggle here now. I struggle here now. And let me just tell you something. When I'm having a bad day, and I do have bad days, it don't get better. I don't read a scripture, and all of a sudden, ta-da! You know what I mean? I used to think, you know, oh, well, I'm having a bad day. Well, Brother Jimmy, read this magic verse, and you'll feel better. No, this is how it goes for me. If I'm having a bad day, I step in dog mess going to the car. I don't know if you know what I mean. That's how my day goes. I didn't have a flat tire on the way to work smelling dog crap in the car because I got it all over the floor or something. That's just the way things go for me. So why the struggle? And then the struggle. You know, why the struggle? And you know, sometimes, guys, I hope you'll get to the point when you learn to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what in the world is going on here? Read my Bible for those 6.5 hours all week long. You see what I mean? And still stepped in dog mess. Why the struggle? I'm going to tell you why. Maybe we'll get to this somewhere. Just a little sense here to tell you. The struggle is so that you will come to the full potential for why God created you. And He knew without the struggle, you would never make it. You know, we talked about the little caterpillar turning into a butterfly. The struggle to get out of the cocoon is what gives it strength. Do you realize that if you just silver spoon your kids your whole life, you ruin them? Do you realize that? I mean, it would be nice. We always think, hey, you know, man, if this was Bill Gates and we had billions of dollars, but you ruin them? Has anybody ever just ruined your kids? Do you realize that sometimes, you know, I'll just say it like this, kids got to learn to wipe their own butt. You know, when they're 2 years old, just get ready. You're going to be wiping a lot of butts. But when they're 12 and you're still wiping butts, shame on you. I mean, really, this is the real. This is gospel preaching. I don't know what it is. Other people probably ain't talking about this somewhere else, but I am, because I want to wake you up. I want you to see. Because it's the real deal, and God allows this to go on in our life because He sees the bigger picture. He sees what He has set in store. He wants you to be strong. He doesn't want us children. He wants us sons and daughters of the living God. He wants us mature, grown up. But listen, the biggest struggle in the world, the biggest struggle for a guy is to become a real man. I was telling Stevie there yesterday, I talked to Stevie a little bit, and he was talking about having to drive to Ohio, and we was talking about all these other things. I said, nobody wants to say this, but I said, I just want to tell you straight up. Do you know, when people will talk about gays and all this other stuff, call it an abomination. I said, you know, Paul said if a man don't provide for his family, he's an abomination. We're not allowed to say that in the church. We're not allowed to say that young men are supposed to be providers. They're supposed to go out and work. That it's honorable for a man to provide for his family. It's honorable. You see what I mean? So, but you see, we got to go from that struggle here of being a kid to move into adulthood. And most don't. They may be 50 years old, but they're still doing this first grade stuff over here. So how do we do this? Let me just give you a few little points right here. I see all these things, guys, and they're right in the Bible. They're right in the Bible. The first thing a person needs is a goal. When God made this, did He have a goal? It's all through the Scriptures. I mean, you ever go read Romans? And God had a goal that you would be conformed into His image. That you would be conformed into sons of God. He had a goal when He said, let there be light. He had a goal in mind. He had a goal in mind. Now, these are words that we don't find in the Bible. But just see if it's not there. The second thing is to go about with this is attitude. Attitude. Now, I could exchange the word attitude for what? Expectation, hope. What do you do in the midst of it when it ain't going your way? What do you do in the midst of it? In the midst of that, Paul had hope. He had expectation. He had the right attitude that no matter what was going on, he had hope. He had expectation. Paul would write, let this mind be in you. If it wasn't important, if attitude wasn't important, Paul said, listen, when you're down and out, here's what you need to do, is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Do you realize this? People will react to us according to our attitude. Do you believe that? So if I go to the store and I'm mean to the cashier, do you think she's going to be nice back to me? I'm going to be one of them, right? Do you know, let me just... you know, we got that little Geico commercial, or Geico, what is it? Geico. It's not a Geico lizard, it's Gecko lizard. Do you know that Gecko lizards and a lot of animals, when they get in their environment, they change their skin to fit the environment? Right? Turtles and deer, they fit into their environment. Do you realize you have been blessed and empowered of God that you don't have to be a gecko and change your environment? You have been empowered to change the environment that you're in.
Yes.
You come into darkness,
yes,
and you are the light. And you change the darkness to the light.
Yes.
You're not a lizard. You see, they're not blessed, they're not empowered with what you have. All they can do is conform to their environment. But you can change the environment. You've been blessed. You've been empowered.
Amen.
You with me?
Yes.
It's a great thing. When we change our attitude, we change our environment, things change. Do you remember Paul in the Philippian jail? Think about the attitude. Or think about the environment. He's in the lowest dungeon there could be. He's in the cesspool down there, locked up, chained up, after just being beat almost to death. What was his attitude? Began to sing praises to the Lord. What happened? The prison shed. All the chains broke loose. The prisoner that was guarding him got saved, and his whole family, because Paul didn't become a gecko. Paul became a man who changed the environment. That's who the church is. Light bearers, salt of the earth. That's who the church is. That's who we are. To change things. Now, here's something else that we need to do. This is outlawed in the church, but we need to do it anyway. And that's to think. Church people ain't supposed to think, right? We throw out the scriptures where Paul would say, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Brethren, I want you to use your brain. Brethren, I want you to get this. Let this mind be in you. Brethren, I want you to think." The greatest thing, the greatest weapon that Satan can use against you is ignorance. As long as you don't know who you are, as long as you're one of these little children, if we was a bunch of Marines and going to war, and I looked over there and I seen a bunch of 5-year-olds with cap guns, this is going to be easy pickings, isn't it? I don't even have to fire a shot. I can throw a few M&Ms over there and take over the whole country. But if I see grown men there with great mighty weapons of war, there's going to be a great fight that goes on. All Satan's got to do is keep you ignorant, keep you a child, keep you dumb, keep you numbed down. That's all we got to do. You won't know what's yours. You won't know who you are. You'll just be like a little kid that has to be led around. I mean, thinking is the secret to freedom. Everybody quotes the scripture, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But how many walk in the freedom? How many walk in the liberty that Jesus died for and shed his blood for? How many died, "I come that you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free"? How many know it? How many walk in the freedom and the liberty of it? How about this? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so is he. Now here's something you're not supposed to say in church either. Rewards. Because we got all this stuff backwards, but you know, there is in verses about reaping and sowing. But listen to what I'm telling you. It's according to our contributions. Now, I'm not talking money into the church. I'm talking about our service to society. What are we doing? You remember, before we didn't have nothing to give. Peter didn't have nothing to give before, but now he does. He said, "Silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money, but such as I have, I give unto thee." You have something. We have this treasure. We didn't have a treasure before, but now out of this treasure, we got something to give a broke, poor, unsuccessful society. We have something. It's called the blessing of God that lives in you. We have it. And according freely you've received, so freely hoard up. Is that what the scripture says? Freely hoard it up and hide it and put it away. He says, freely you've received what? Freely give. I mean, he's talking about, you know, the good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over. What's he talking about? He's talking about the blessing of God. You see what I'm talking about? Now, The next thing, if I'm going to be running a company and I want this company to be successful, I've got to have a little R&D. You know what R&D is? Research and development. If I don't have R&D, as soon as this technology runs out, listen, several years ago, I used to like a NASCAR driver, Sterling Marlin. For any of you don't know, he drove the number 4 car, won the Daytona 500. Before he drove it, Ernie Irvin drove it. Do y'all remember the sponsor? Any old NASCAR guys that know this? Remember the sponsor of his car? Kodak. Remember Kodak? Where's Kodak now? Young people don't even know who Kodak is. Remember when you go to the store and they buy all that film? Why? Because they didn't make the transition to digital. They knew things was going. They didn't have no R&D going on. So now Kodak is what? Gone. They were the leading providers of pictures and film and everything. And now they're a non-existent company because they didn't R&D. So me, to be successful, I've got to have an R&D program. Me. If Jim Moore's going to be successful, I've got to have an R&D program. Research and development. Companies fail if they don't have that. So if I'm going to do that, I've got to invest my own money into research and development. How much money do you spend on you to make you smarter? Do you ever think about that? How much money do you ever spend on you to make you better than you were? How much time do you spend on you? Are you a better person now than you were 5 years ago, than you were last week? Because see, if I don't have a research and development that I'm doing here, study the scriptures. Study, Timothy, to show thyself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Study, Timothy. Look, you got to have an R&D program. You got to have this if you're going to make, if you're going to be successful, right? You've got to have this. You got 6.5 hours that's yours to go into your research and development program. Do you see what I'm talking about? If we want to be successful, Christians, if we want to be successful, we got a lot of time. Most of our money goes where? Besides paying bills, our money goes to entertainment. Does it not? Does it go to research and development? When's the last time you bought a book? Now listen, I love good books, and most of the books that I read have something to do with Christian and Bible stuff. You know? Most of our extra money, if we have any, goes to entertainment, not to research and development. Here's the last point, and this is a strange secret. Listen to this. What makes a person who they are? All the way back, little kids and their genetic pool and their environment and all the people. What makes a person who they are? What makes you put in all of that, but what a person becomes? What a person becomes is what a person thinks about most of the time. Now, listen to what I just tell you. What you think about most of the time, that's what you become. That's the reason where there's no vision, the people perish. That's the reason the prophecy of Joel was that he would give back the dreams and the visions to the people because they were gone, because they had no dreams and vision. Do you know little kids? You go talk to the kids and ask them. You know, this was the very thing that we started, this thing that we wanted to start, because they said in this area the people had no dreams. They had no vision. The little kids didn't want to be nothing. When they grow up, they wanted to get on the draw. Kids in this area, Tazewell County, Russell County, at 18 years old, wanted to get on the draw. So what do you think they do? They spend their life, they spend their whole time thinking about getting on the draw. Now, if they're going to ever have anything, thing in life, what are they going to do? They're going to have to steal it off of you and me. So we got a society here of all of these over here who won't work, who won't get on the draw, stealing from us who do work and try to provide for a family. Now see, we'll fight this battle out yonder, but we won't fight it in the church because we don't think it's the real deal. We can't bring the two things over here together. We're not allowed to talk about it because God forbid if you go into a church and tell young men you need to get a job, then you're not going to be preaching very long if you're on the payroll because people don't want to hear that. Because we got church, and I grew up and we got churches full of non-working people. God made us to work. God made us to go out and earn a living. He did. And He gave us hands and feet and ability and creativity to go out and do these things. And now He not only does that, He has empowered us, blessed us with His own self to go out and do these things. Yes. So what you think about most of the times, that's what you become. I know that to be true. When I grow up, just this little story from the time I was about 6 years old on, I wanted to be a Marine. You realize when you go tell other people you want to be a Marine, what they tell you? Don't do that. You'll never make it. Don't do that. Join the Air Force. Join the Army. Join something easy. Don't go in the Marines. Don't go. Nobody ever told me good. The only person that ever told me that was a recruiter. Imagine that. Nobody said, great, fantastic. Oh, it's too tough. It's too tough. It's too tough. You'll never make it. Never make it. But my mind was set. And guess what? I became a Marine. Because it's all I thought about. Boom. But now, what do we think about? And you know, I'm working, so I don't have time to think about nothing there. So I come home, turn on the escape box. I'm not thinking about nothing. So what do I become? Nothing. If I'm thinking about nothing, what do I become? Nothing. Status quo, nothing. Let's go right on. But yet, we've been blessed. We've been blessed with God Himself. That's what the blessing is. The blessing is God saying, I will be your life. I will come and live inside of you. In you, Abraham, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. I am going to empower you. I'm going to be your life. Can you see that? I mean, here we are blessed. And where are we? We're in a dadgone den of wolves. Daniel, great blessed man of God. Man, I wish I could be like Daniel. Did you forget about the lion's den? Man, I wish I could be like the three Hebrew children. Did you forget about the furnace? Man, oh Peter, did you forget about the prison? Man, I wish I could be like Paul. Did you forget about the prison and the beach for him? I mean, where has God gotten us? If we're going to change, if the lion is going to lay down with the lamb, somebody's got to go speak to the lion. Yeah. Somebody's got to go into the lion's den and close their mouths. Right? If we're going to calm the storm, somebody's got to be in the storm. If we're going to raise the dead, somebody has to die. That's where we're at, guys. That is where we're at. But you have been blessed and empowered with God Himself. You have been blessed. We say this prayer all the time, and I'm going to get out of the way. I said I wasn't going to be long, and I lied. Again. What is our prayer that we pray? What is it? What's the prayer? I tell everybody's they got a picture of it at home. We pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right? Just words, right? Do we really mean Him? So we're praying, thy will be done in the earth, on the earth as it is in heaven. And He's blessed you and me to bring about the will in heaven onto the earth. Yes. The church wants to leave the earth, but He said, I'm bringing about a new earth. Well, there ain't going to be nobody here. Everybody's going to be over yonder. Who's going to do, you ever think about that? Who's going to be in the new earth? I'm going to make a new earth and a new heaven. God's desire is for His will that is in heaven to be done here. And He's empowered the church with Himself to bring His will to pass. Yes. But the church don't know who they are. The church is just a bunch of little children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And they won't grow up because nobody will speak truth. What did he say? What did he say to Adam and Eve? The first words that God had a conversation with a man. What did he say? God created man, male and female. And he blessed them and said. God's first conversation with Adam and Eve was he blessed them. Now listen, here's Adam and Eve just woke up, rubbing their eyes, and they see a creation out here. And God says, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. In other words, Adam and Eve, I have set you, you are my representatives in all the earth. You are, and Peter said the same thing. He says, you know what, you're a royal priesthood. That's what a priesthood does. Priesthood represents God to the people. So you're a royal priesthood, Adam and Eve. I put you in. Do you think Adam and Eve walked around scared? Adam and Eve walked around and says, what is this? And God says, Adam, that's whatever you want to call it. Adam says, I'm going to call this a grizzly bear. What is this? Adam, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call this an elephant. Adam, I mean, what is this? Do you think he was scared, saying, oh, man, what is that thing over there? He walked around. Now, listen, this is creation right out of the gate. Right out of the gate. They just walked around and they wasn't scared. This is at the innocent stage. This is at the very beginning. Do you think they were scared of God? They was not scared of God. God, they just knew God as love. They knew the birds, and they would say, oh, look at that magnificent eagle. Oh, look at the whales, and they could just walk into the water, and piranhas wouldn't bite them, and the snakes wouldn't bite them, and the bugs wouldn't bite them, because they were God on the earth. That's who they were, and they walked around in this state. This was entry level. What entry level? We hadn't even got to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We haven't got to the tree of life yet. This was their state of being right out of the gate. They were blessed. They were blessed. They were blessed. Well, I'm just going to quit. I hope we're going to continue this on. We're going to talk about this tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, the Tower of Babel, all of these things that He's interested in blessing you. He's interested in empowering us. He's interested in us growing up. He has interested us in coming into full stature. I'm telling you, he is. It's his desire for the whole world. I mean, just thinking about this coming out here. He's interested in judgment, in justice, in righteousness. He's interested in those things, and he's brought them about in Christ. But see, if we don't understand them, we never want to face these things and come into maturity into these things. But if we're going to walk in this joy, and if we're going to know the peace of God that passes the understanding, we have got to. And listen, you're not going to escape this thing just because you die. See, people think that, well, I can just stay a baby all my life, and I'll die, and I'll go to heaven, and as I go through heaven, I'm going to go through the cattle guards. I had to drive through these cattle guard things going down into, it's out on Clark's Valley, and you go across the cattle guards, and they have these ropes that hang down that would rub across the cows to keep them from going through that. Well, a lot of Christians think I'm going to go through the pearly gates and these things are going to rub on me, and then all of a sudden I'm going to know everything and have it all figured out. You know, that's Harry Potter magic, you know, abracadabra, poof, now you're immortal, poof, now you know everything. Doesn't work that way, guys. It's never going to work that way. You're going to grow up one way or the other. You're not going to skip any steps. You're not going to skip any steps. You are going to grow up. You might as well do it now. Might as well do it now.